Vince, we've got to move this along.
Yes, we do.
You've got a dinner reservation. Are you ready for rapid fire?
Let's go, baby. Rapid fire it up. You got some good ones today.
Okay, Notre Dame is a week into fall training camp. Are you more excited or more concerned about the season after the first week?
I'm not more concerned about the season. I am more fatigued at this point, and I want to get to the season. Does that make sense? Like, I am more excited to get there because
we're one week into camp and you're ready for camp to be over already.
Yeah, I'm ready to just fast forward to August 31st. Like, I'm over. I guess this is me being cynical. I know that's going to shock you, but I'm so over the nitpicking of little things that we see in a 5-period practice. And I'm not saying we as in like you and me or Brian or anybody else, but like we as a media and as
Royal
a fan
we.
Base.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, I saw him. Was he limping or, you know, oh, he made a great catch. That means he's going to be a Biletnikoff award winner. You know, like the extrapolations from the little bit that we get to see is just, it's fatiguing to me. That's what I want to say.
Yeah. I mean, so my question was more excited or more concerned about this? No, I'm talking through it to myself to remind myself what I'm supposed to be answering here. So
it's like, Vince, you didn't answer it at all.
No, that's all right. It's like, it's okay. Everybody goes, you know, goes down their own path. I have more concern today than I had a week ago because of the things that have happened and specifically the Charles Jagasaw thing, you know, so like I have more concern, but I still have a lot of excitement / optimism about what could be coming for this
100%
team this season. Yes. So like my concern has not overtaken my excitement or optimism. Still feel really good. Now, you know, like to your point, it's like, this is what, you know, like at least it's like, we've got these, you know, little viewing windows and all that stuff. But when you think about it, what happens, you know, what's the cycle of the season? Once we actually get into the season, we have Saturday, we watch a game on Saturday.
Right.
And then we spend the next 7 days reacting and overreacting to everything that we just saw on Saturday. And that continues. And then we do the whole thing all over again the next week. It's like, you know, we're like, what would we be? Mice? You know, like, what's the short term? We're fish, I guess. We're myopic, right? We're like that's all we can think about on a week to week basis. So like, I was thinking about this today. Like, I don't want to see the injuries. The injuries suck. I don't want anybody to get hurt, obviously. And I think everybody thinks that. But like, in terms of camp itself, I love having the content because now it's like, we're going over there.
This is true.
We at least get to see a little bit. And we get to talk to these coaches and players and stuff like that. And it gives us, you know, when we're doing shows here. So like, I'm perfectly fine with camp right now. I'm sitting back and I'm basking and I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
That's right hilarious. Now. I love it. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay. So speaking of getting to talk to coaches and players, here's what Irish defensive line coach Al Washington had to say the other day about Boubacar Traore and Josh Burnham.
We're ready to roll. Put that Band-Aid off, because he can go. He's special. He's a really good player. And I say the same thing about Junior. But Boubacar last year I think it was like part physical. You know, now he's filled out. His body looks different. And just year two, man, like you just more aware, and he's playing faster as a result of it. So, he's still working. He's still not where he wants to be at the end, but yeah, we'll continue to invest in him. I'm gonna go back. Josh Burnham is having a hell of a camp and off season. His body's transformed. Like he's almost closer to 260. He's special.
So there's Al Washington. He was in that little raps, you know. First thing he said about Boubacar is he's ready to roll. And then he said, rip that Band-Aid off. And then he kind of got a little bit louder as he went along. But so there you go, talking about both of those guys, Traore and Burnham. So which of them is going to have the bigger season, Vince?
This is tough. I think I said it earlier that I'm worried the hype on Boubacar is a little bit too high at this point. I mean, he's got all the physical attributes, right? I mean, he fits the mold. I'm so high on Josh Burnham right now. I mean, what I think I said in another show, I want to move him over to Viper and get him on the, you know, make him a starter. You know, that's mm-hmm. how I feel about Josh Burnham. They're not going to do that, by the way. It was asked. They're not going to do that, but I think he's going to make some serious noise. So I'm hedging my bets, and I'm going to be going with Josh Burnham on this one.
Yeah, I'm going with Burnham as well, because there's something there for Jordan Botelho. And I think that Botelho is still going to see his own share of reps. And I think that he is going to produce to whatever extent. You know, the question for him is going to be, is he going to prove that he deserves to be out there probably, what, at least 60 or 70% of the time, as opposed to whatever Traore can give you. And then, you know, like if he shows that he can't, then I think Boubacar and maybe Tui Alamanca as well get more opportunities, you know, because I should say that, you know, well, I mean, you just heard Al Washington say that he's pretty high on Traore, but I really am pretty excited about what Josh Burnham can bring to this whole thing. And you know, hopefully we see him build on what he did last year and really continue to push RJ Oben as well. And I think if Burnham does what we think that he can do, you're not going to have to go to the transfer portal next year. It's going to be Bryce Young and Burnham potentially over on that side next year. And you're feeling really good about both, you know, 2025 and beyond. And you feel really good about 2024 with the group that they've got over there as it is. So I'm going Burnham as my pick as well.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this kid play for sure.
We were talking about the receivers, and Texas Chris slipped this in. He said, I thought they already said they've revised the 6-man rotation to 8. Now, I don't know where you've seen or heard that. I want to say Mike Denbrock, when he was talking about it, he was still saying 6 last week. We haven't talked to Mike Brown yet. I believe that comes at some point potentially next week is when we'll get to talk to Mike Brown. And Mike Brown is the one who said in the spring that it was going to be a 6-man rotation. I haven't heard 8. So
yeah, I haven't
not
either.
Not sure where you saw or heard that.
Yeah. I mean, that might just be coming from press people that are hoping that it's 8, you know what I mean? But it hasn't come from a coach yet. So I will wait on the coach and I will trust the coach on this one. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in, baby. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Get in on all the excitement and win up to 100 times your cash with the summer games on Prize Picks. With Prize Picks, you could turn $10 into $1,000 while watching Team USA rack up the gold medals this summer. You can make Prize Picks lineups of players across basketball, soccer, tennis, golf, and more in as little as 60 seconds. Just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and you're locked in. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. I recently won big with a 4-player stat projection. I picked LeBron James to go under 17.5 points in Team USA's first game of the tournament. I picked Stephen Curry to go under 2.5 three-pointers. I picked Kevin Durant to go over 13.5 points. And I threw in Dansby Swanson to have over half of an RBI. Bing, bang, boom, baby. That's a victory. It's just that easy. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
All right, so here's an interesting comment, Vince, from defensive coordinator Al Golden. He was asked about the comment that Marcus Freeman made at the start of training camp, that Golden's defense coming into camp basically had a 500 level, you know, like if you're talking to like college, 500 level graduate knowledge of the defense. Yeah, that's right. Like basically graduate level. So here's what Al Golden said to that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I appreciate, you know, the commentary. I just think, you know, at the end of the day, like, we work really hard at it. You know, we work hard at it. The players work hard at it. The staff works hard at it. And there's a lot that goes into it. You know, there's tips every day. There's cut-ups. There's a summer development program. There's individual programs. So, you know, really, really working really hard in April, working really hard in May and June, working on the weekends, getting it situated so that you can give that information to the players. And most importantly, that you have enough leaders and a high standard so that they accept the information and make it their own. That, because you could give them, I could send them videos to them blue, but, you know, if we don't have guys that are accepting it, executing it, making it their own, bringing it from their head to their heart, then, you know, then it's just, I'm just fighting with Twitter then, right? I'm just fighting with YouTube, and that's not what we're here to do. We're here to win games, and we're just blessed to have a bunch of guys that, man, like, coach me, you know, push me, and that's what we attract, you know, and that's what's awesome about coaching at Notre Dame, man. We have a lot of guys that want to be the best that they can be, you know, irrespective of you know, whatever part of your life you're talking about.
Now, you can go whatever direction you want with this, because he said a lot there. I mean, basically he's saying we work at it.
Yeah.
What jumped out at me, both listening to it live, standing there when he said it, and listening to it again a few times, you're fighting with Twitter and you're fighting with YouTube.
I mean,
like, is Al Golden is Al Golden on Twitter, you know, like looking what people are saying? Is he on, you know?
I think he's watching our show. That's what I think. I think he's watching us on YouTube. That's what he's fighting against, apparently. But no,
he's got a nasty case of insomnia, so he just decided, like, that
is he saying he's fighting against that, or that he's fighting against the players watching that kind of stuff? Maybe. I don't know. That was an interesting comment. I'm not really sure where.
And it was interesting how he just sort of drifted into that. It kind of came out of the blue.
Yes, it
the way
did.
He said that, you know?
Yeah, it 100% did. It 100% did. I, you know, overall, I think it's all, I mean, he appreciated what Marcus Freeman said, but at the same time, he's like, look, we just work really hard at it and we get what we deserve. I kind of dig that. You know what I mean? And I love the fact that he's saying how hard they work and he's in the lab all the time trying to make it so that it's easy to digest for these kids. You know what I mean? And because it probably is very complicated. It's an NFL style defense. And so it is very, I mean, only the best teachers are able to give really intricate, hard concepts and make it easy to understand. And that's what he's attempting to do. And I appreciate that. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, he said that from day one. One of the things that he likes about being at Notre Dame, it's one of the first things, I think the first spring that he was here, what struck him right away was the intelligence level of the guys that he was dealing with. I think that by and large, like, just from a pure intelligence level and what these guys are able to absorb.
Yeah.
Probably even more than a lot of the guys that he worked with in the NFL. And I'm not, you know, like trying to take shots at him, but like there is a different academic standard at Notre Dame. Right. And when you're balancing, we talk about it all the time, whether it's 4 for 40 or, you know, whatever it happens to be, you know, that's one of the things that has stood out to Al Golden right away since being here. And, you know, like he said, it doesn't just happen overnight. I think that's the biggest thing. They work hard at it.
Yep.
All the time.
And it shows. I mean, it absolutely shows. So, and they're all bought in, which is awesome.
Yeah. So I got another comment. This one's from Marcus Freeman. He talked about the impending 105-man roster limit that's going to be coming to college football. So here's what he said. I asked him about it at his opening press conference last week. Here's the response. I asked, like, what's the potential impact of this thing for you?
Yeah, that's something that we've have been planning for and having discussions for. You know, when the NCAA sets the roster limit, we'll make sure we adjust accordingly. You know, I've always had this response to questions that, you know, when people ask my opinion on these things, like, it really doesn't matter whether I like 105 or I like 120. They passed a ruling that said it's going to be 105. Okay, how do we come up with a plan to make sure this group, this 105 guys in the future, are ready to roll and can really reach its full potential? And so we have a great plan, right, that we've been preparing for months, that if this was going to be the case, we know exactly the way we want to structure our roster.
So a great plan in place, apparently. Okay. No details on the plan, you know, but the roster is going to go to 105. So what impact do you think it's going to have, Vince?
This one is, to be honest with you, it's really hard.
I know.
It's really hard because...
And maybe that's why Marcus gave the answer that he gave, because nobody really knows yet.
Because they carry a lot more players than that right now. You know what I mean? And they carry about like 120, I think, ish players.
Right.
And so, I mean, I haven't gone and counted the roster, but it's about that.
I actually did before I asked that question.
Oh, well,
I
thank you.
That in the question. It's right around, it was either 120 or 121.
Okay. So there you go. So 15 guys are going to get cut. Like, you're no longer going to be a part of the program. That's a tough pill to swallow for me, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know why they have to mess with the way things are going, because you're messing with kids' livelihoods at this point, or you're messing with their college careers. And I personally have an issue with that. Now, you've got the guys that are 86 through 105 that are now going to be on a full ride scholarship, which is awesome for them. But at the same time, not having some of those numbers are going to affect the way that you practice. And there's going to be the naysayers out there that talk about, oh, you don't need all those walk-ons and they don't serve a purpose and it doesn't matter. They're not going to help you win a championship. Au contraire. Yes, they do help you win a championship because of the way they allow you to practice, right? You can take some reps off some other guys that you don't need to put on them so that they're more fresh for those games. And in a 16 or 17 game season, that's more important than ever. And you're extending the season, but you're shortening the roster. That makes no sense to me.
Right.
Makes no sense to me.
Exactly. You know,
at the end of the day, are those 15 kids that you're cutting from your roster going to be on the field when you're winning that championship? No, of course not. But they are still important to the way you get to that point. And I think it's – I don't like it. Now, I don't know how they're going to go about it. I know that not even all the schools are going to go up to 105 scholarships.
Some conferences, I think, are going to go below that.
A conference coach at the group of five level told me that the conference is going to vote as to how many scholarships each school is actually going to be able to give away. And so that's going to be interesting, too, because, like I said, and we talked about this in the last show, the haves and the have-nots within a conference, whether you're talking the Power Four or even the group of five, is immense. Some schools can't afford to give away 105 scholarships.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's going to be, so, you know, they're still going to have a walk-on program. And how does that affect, you know, how many guys you have in each room, you know, from a parent of a recruit? It's like, okay, you know what the first thing that's going to get cut? Specialists. So, you know, what does that look like as far as, you know, specialists going? You're probably going to have two of each. I have two kickers, two punters, two long snappers, and that's probably
it. I mean, because you got to have somebody in reserve, and
of course,
you know, in case of injuries and stuff like that. But yeah, or you know, that, or like, most kickers and punters do both in high school, and they end up being one or the other once they get to college. But I think you definitely have to make sure when you're giving a guy a scholarship that he has at least some level of expertise and experience doing both, because a punter is going to have to become a reserve kicker and vice versa, because you're not going to have a lot of extra scholarships to get out.
And that's where those combo guys come into effect, right? My kid's a combo guy. I feel like that might help his chances of getting on a roster someplace. But what is that roster going to be? Is it going to be a group of five like he was trying for before all of this came down? Or are we now dropping down a level or two to make sure he gets on a roster someplace like that? It's kind of wild, and I think it's going to be different at all levels. And I'm interested to see how different schools kind of tackle this 105.
And like what you were talking about initially, I think that once you get into November and then hopefully December, but like once you get later in the season and you do have injuries, and even if they're not serious injuries, you've got bumps and bruises, and you can talk about, well, do you really need 120 guys, you know, because you're already, you know, like essentially if you're looking at a three deep depth chart, then that's 66 total players right there, you know, 11, you know, 11 first string offense, 11 second string offense, 11 third team, you know, and the same on defense, obviously, but then you throw your specialists in and stuff like that. And then you're over 70, maybe pushing 75 or so. And that leaves 10 other guys just to what is now the 85 man limit. And now you're cutting 15 to 20 guys off the top. And okay, so everybody's getting scholarships, but you know, again, like once you start dealing with injuries, what's your scout team going to look like in November?
Right.
When you're trying to give your offense a good look at what the opponent is going to be. Because, you know, let's be honest, because like that's part of the reason you agree to become a walk-on, right? And why a team takes you as a walk-on, because they don't have to invest a scholarship.
Exactly.
They got to feed you and do, you know, some of that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's Rudy.
Yeah.
Test, right? You're expendable, you know?
That's the word. I mean, and that's the truth.
You're less expendable once they're giving you whatever scholarship limit,
right,
you know, or amount.
Because now you're going to have full ride scholarship guys running scout. And that is not really
full, or at least partial.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not really the position that you want to be in, to be perfectly honest with you, because expendability is a real thing. You know what I mean? And you want the best look that you can possibly get. But, you know, we've talked about this before. Notre Dame's walk-on program is really, really good. I mean, there's guys that are walked on at Notre Dame that are scholarship level players elsewhere in the 85 man world, right? And there's guys that have left scholarship opportunities, like the Tefelski kid, who's a running back, left a scholarship opportunity at a MAC school to walk on at Notre Dame. Like, their walk on program is legit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of kids are probably going to get a scholarship now. It's the other, you know, it's the latter half. Like, okay, for example, and I know I tend to talk about kickers, they have five kickers on the roster right now. And they're not going to have five kickers on the roster next year.
No.
And some, they're going to have, you know, they're going to have that tough talk. Like, sorry, you know, you're not going to be.
But you also can't take a flyer on a guy and see.
That's,
you know,
also true at another position, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. You can't take a flyer and say, you know, hey, if it works out, you know, maybe you end up with a scholarship, any of that kind of stuff. You've got to invest something in them, whether it's at least some kind of partial right away. And like Bubs is asking if it'll affect how many scholarship teams can give out per recruiting class. They haven't announced anything yet. I have to think that it will, because now everyone's on scholarship. So the scholarship limit is going to have to come up to some extent. What exactly that number is, we don't know yet, though.
Is there a limit on how many scholarships they're allowed to give out per recruiting class, though? I didn't know that there was a limit.
Yes.
Like, maximum. Is there a maximum?
There is. And I know they raised it recently. I'm not exactly sure what the, you know, again, like you and I.
I'm not guys.
But
I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
And Josh has a good question. He says, is this going to affect the academies? They usually have about 160 players on the roster. It affects them because they're only allowed to have 105. Like, that's how it affects you. You can't have more than
they're part of it as well.
Yeah. Now, they don't give out athletic scholarships because everybody in the school is on scholarship.
Paid. Right.
I mean, you know, so they don't give out athletic scholarships, but a roster.
But you still have a roster limit. Everybody.
Roster limit. A roster limit.
Yeah. If you're FBS, you can only have 105.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, and that's now there is some gray area, though, there still, like with the academies, because each of the service academies also has a prep school.
That is true.
And a lot of, you know, what they'll do a lot of times is right after high school, they'll send them to like the Air Force prep school or the Naval prep school, whichever,
for at least a year.
You know, corresponding. They'll stay there for a year, and those prep schools have teams as well. So like they can get some both academic and athletic experience there, but that helps them decide potentially who's going to be on that roster.
They also have, at the service academies, they also have a thing called sprint football. Have you heard of that before?
I haven't.
It is 11-man football, like normal, but every single person is under like 170 pounds.
Wow.
Or whatever. I forget what the number is. And so they have a whole team, because I believe at the service academies, you're required to play some sort of sport, no matter what. And so a way to kind of make that happen is they have sprint football. And the service academies are one of the first ones to actually have a sprint football team. I know Army and Navy have one. I'm on their website right now, CSFL. And I forget exactly what the weight is, but it's like 168 pounds, I want to say. And I don't know where if I'm able to find that on, you know, right away. But
I had never heard of that. That's the first time.
Yeah. I'm sorry, 178 pounds. That's okay. Everybody has to be 178 pounds and have a minimum of 5% body fat to be eligible to play.
Wow.
So there you go. So they could potentially stash some guys over there.
Beefeater's asking if Notre Dame got rid of dorm football after COVID. I don't know if it was after COVID. I think it was years ago, but they did get rid of it. Essentially, the numbers were going down.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a casualty of, you know, like the continued rise of soccer in America, just fewer people, you know, playing tackle football and wanting to play tackle football. I think they were having a hard – well, they were having a hard time fielding teams. And I believe – like the flag football thing has, you know, continued to grow over there. So fill in the blank. It's blank that former Michigan and current LA Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh said this when asked about his involvement in the Michigan sign stealing scandal. Quote, "Never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with a lesson. I have raised my family on that lesson. I've preached that lesson to the teams that I've coached. No one's perfect. If you stumble, you apologize and you make it right. Today, I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware, nor complicit in those said allegations." End quote. Jim Harbaugh.
Hilarious. It's like, dude, you have literally been caught with your hand in the cookie jar with crumbs on your mouth. And you're like, "I didn't do anything. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm one of the most honest people on the planet."
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, dude, you caught. Like, you're caught. Apologize. Say you're sorry. And you know what? It doesn't even hurt you to say you're sorry because there's nothing they can do to you because you're going to be a professional coach for the rest of your career. Then you're going to retire. You're never going to coach in college again. They can't touch you. This is like double jeopardy, basically. They can't touch you. So just apologize for it and move on. Because at the end of the day, nobody cares. Nobody. You will be beloved in Michigan forever because you brought them a national championship. It doesn't matter what you do or what you say. Now you just sound like a buffoon.
Yeah, everybody knows you did it, but it's like typical Jim Harbaugh stuff. Honestly, I'm surprised they didn't say Michigan. What's Michigan? Like, what? Yeah. Where's that? You know,
right?
Like, the night he was even at Michigan. You know, like total Jim Harbaugh gaslighter. You know, like. Have you ever truly been able to trust anything Jim Harbaugh says? It doesn't seem like it. Like you definitely can't trust anything that he says, you know, when it comes to this. All that, you know, they've obviously given him plausible deniability and he's falling behind it, even though that NCAA investigation found that he was, you know, involved in this and he
guilty as charged, lied, obstructed. Guilty. Just admit it, man. Just admit it. Like, hey, I did what I had to do to get a national championship. That one right there.
Jay Slay saying, "Does that restriction affect all sports or just football?" I'm guessing you're talking about roster limits. Every sport is going to have.
They've all increased.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, most of the others have increased. Football has gone down for.
Well, yeah, roster limit-wise.
Well, I guess football has technically increased. Yeah, it's just that, yeah. Like, baseball has gone from 11.7 to scholarships like to now they're going to be able to give, like, 34 or something like
something,
that.
Something, like an entire roster. Shocker.
Right.
You know, now, I don't know if that means that's the roster limit now, because obviously baseball teams carried more than that in the first place.
Yeah.
So I don't know if those are limits now or if that's how many scholarships – you know, I don't know the answer to that because I just don't follow it that close. But I know a lot of their roster or a lot of their scholarships went up, which is a good thing for those sports, by the way. That's a good thing.
Exactly. Fill in the blank. It's fill in the blank. Baylor coaches wearing shirts at practice to say, "We pay players," is blank.
I mean, they're leaning into it, aren't they? I mean, I
like saying the quiet part out loud, you know,
man, like, I just hate what collegiate sports, specifically football, has come to. Like, that's what it is. And the sad part is they're doing nothing wrong. They're doing nothing wrong because they're allowed to pay players. You know, I mean,
honestly, I feel like Baylor was probably paying players before.
Well,
like, you were allowed to actually pay players just based on, you know, all the shady stuff that's gone down there over the years.
Fair enough. But I do give credit to the equipment guy or whoever came up with that shirt. I mean, what the heck? Why not?
Well, they're also selling the shirts and they're putting the proceeds into their NIL fund. Oh,
there you go. I mean, that's genius in my opinion. I love it. I don't like it. Like the direction that we're going. They're embracing it, man. Like, they're okay
to a high degree. Yeah, and it's just pretty. You know, again, it's pretty shocking. When you see coaches walking around at practice with We Pay Players.
Yeah,
at a Power Five school. That's where we are today. Like it or not. I'm trying to see if there's. Oh, there was one more comment, Andre. Through this in. He says, as much as I would love to be settled quarterback recruiting, I think whomever Notre Dame has, I think Notre Dame has an excellent quarterback room and Notre Dame will be okay. And this is obviously, you know, reference to what's going on with Deuce Knight. And yeah,
look, you want to stack every position as much as you possibly can. You're always going to go after the best guys. It's not always going to work out. Obviously, I think in this specific scenario, you know, you've got Riley Leonard for this year. You've got CJ Carr for the next 2 years at minimum because he can't leave until he's, after his junior year.
Mm-hmm.
If he sticks around, then he goes for a third year. If he doesn't stick around, I think it's a natural handoff to Noah Grubbs if he's as good as we think he is. Now he's going into his junior year, so I think there's still is a lot to figure out there. In my opinion, people are very high on him. Okay, cool. I think Notre Dame recruiting at the quarterback position is in fine shape. This sucks. If he ends up going someplace else, that sucks. It's terrible. It's not what you want, but I think Notre Dame will be fine.
I do too, because assuming you're going to get at least 2 years out of CJ Carr, that's a good thing. That's going to be great. It's going to be a great thing.
Yep.
And then, like you said, Noah Grubbs, you're going to have a gap. You know, you would still like to have every.
Oh, sure.
You're like you said, every recruiting cycle, you would like to have one of these guys. It's, you know, again, this goes back to kind of ties into what we were just talking about. It's the age that we're in, and there are big bags of money floating around out
and,
there.
You know, Noah Grubbs would take over as a true sophomore, which is when CJ Carr would potentially take over when he's a true sophomore. So, I mean, I think the timing of it works out and, you know, but. And Archer, I think, said it perfectly. He goes, you never want to miss out on an elite quarterback, but as long as you get one every other cycle, you'll be okay. He's right. And I'm cool with that.
Well, and the biggest impact to me, like short term, is next year. What happens next year if CJ Carr goes to the top of the depth chart like we think he is going to? Are both of those other guys going to stay? Are they both going to transfer? Because like that's where, because like if Deuce was here, even if one or both left, you've got your number two quarterback. As young and inexperienced as he is, he's still very talented. So you would have your backup quarterback with Deuce. But, you know, again, like if CJ Carr leapfrogs both of these other guys, there's a very good chance that both of them are leaving at least by the end of next spring. And then that. You know, that like you do have Rezac potentially. You're going to have to give Rezac a scholarship. And he was, you know, like in terms of he was the Nebraska player of the year. He's a walk-on right now. But again, you know, kind of what we were talking about, Vince, you know, once that roster limit changes, that's a guy you've got to give a scholarship to now. But like, so at the very least, he's kind of an emergency guy. But again, like, is that a real true depth number two guy? Like, so that's where I think the Deuce thing could have the most immediate impact, is just what happens within that room for next year and who the number two guy is if CJ Carr is number one.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I, you know, everybody's like, you know, Deuce Knight is a game changer. Deuce Knight is still a project. I want to be very clear on that. Deuce Knight is not a guy that you want starting day one when he walks in the door. If he goes to Auburn or if he goes to Ole Miss, that's probably what they're going to do to him. And I don't think that's the best for him. I don't think that's the best for him. Notre Dame was on him early, and they were recruiting him as a project. He's not a ready-made starter.
Not now, but he's also just based on everything that we've seen over the course of the summer and back into the spring, the guy has made a lot of progress.
He's made a ton of progress.
Quarterback skills just within the last several months. So.
He's still not a walk in the door day one freshman starter.
No, but I think again, that's why it was perfect to have him behind CJ Carr.
Totally agree with that. My fear for him specifically is that if he goes to Auburn, which is what everybody's saying is going to happen, they are going to expect him to be a day one starter. And I don't think that's good for him and his development. I don't think it's going to end well. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. I think the fit was perfect at Notre Dame because he would have been able to sit for a little bit and learn.
Right. Now, if you look at the new Champions Lounge, Brian Driscoll posted some new intel up there. I don't know if it was this morning. I think it was
this morning. It was about 10:30.
But there's some pretty good stuff up there.
Yes, there is. Right now
on that very subject. So check it out. Become a Champions Lounge subscriber. Go to the new Champions Lounge where you get all that good, juicy information. That's also where you can submit your questions for tomorrow's We In, We Out show. Coming back. We've been off. Baby. We haven't had a We In, We Out. I guess we did it last Monday. Mm. So We In, We Out is coming back tomorrow. I checked the thread. There were already some good questions in there for tomorrow's show. So jump over there, get yours in, and of course we'll answer them.
Beautiful.
Vince, again, happy anniversary. Pass it along to your bride, Kristen.
You do the same. You do the same, Miss Stacy. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your day celebrating your union.
Is that what it's called? All right.
I don't know. Sure, why not?
All right, everybody else, thanks for being here tonight. As always, hit the like button before you leave. We do appreciate it. And we will talk to you tomorrow on Aviation Sports.